All right, hey everybody, if you want to help the show out, one great way to do it is use our Amazon link over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/Amazon. It'll be the same Amazon you always use, same price, the same website. We just get a small percentage of what you buy, and thanks so much for using it, because it's a huge, huge help. And your small purchases or big, whatever you purchase, it goes a long way towards paying for all our hosting fees and stuff. And I just appreciate it. Thank you so much. And let's get on to this show. All right, ready? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what is the rest, you might ask? Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's running through your brain. Whatever feelings you might have, whatever physical sensations you might be experiencing, I'm going to try to distract you from that. I'm going to use lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders. I'm going to, you know, kind of go on and on. You know, the world, we'll usually we do a world building. There'll probably be something like world building. Lots of, one character explains something to another character, exposition. There'll be exposition and explanations, you know, speeches, but not the kind, not like, something MLK would give or Abraham Lincoln. Explanations and exposition, you know, kind of like a point. Oh, speeches. I got distracted there. You know, someone might give a long speech at a city council meeting about an inane, parking rules or something like that. That's the kind of quality of speech. But don't worry, the speeches are usually packed towards that. And right now is the time for metaphors. But really what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice and my hand across the deep, dark night. And I'm going to use these tools I have, plus many other tools of lulling and dulling. Pregnant pauses have been getting a lot of love this week. But usually the pauses in here, they could be... Usually I think it means pregnant pause if there's something meaningful coming after the pause. In this case, it's kind of like one of those, it's a pause, it's a faux pregnant pause, like kind of like when you say, well, is that person, that was just acting, she wasn't actually pregnant in that movie. Really? You're kidding me. You know, it's some sort of foam rubber thing. And she actually had it filled, you know, with a giant balloon. And they had this hilarious story on set where the balloon burst. And she was, but it was, and then, you know, they convinced the best boy and the key grip that she, sure, water had broke. And that, you know, the gaffer, they said, get the gaffer over here. We're going to need some gaffer tape. This baby's coming. And the best boy said, well, the gaffer tape? And what was my point? Oh, yeah, there wasn't a point, was my point, with the pregnant pauses. It's just usually just a pause. And you might say, well, geez, is it a dramatic pause? I would say, well, if it's similar to the pregnant, it's a faux dramatic's a little strong word. And I don't know if there's something, you know, I'm trying to think of something that's like, say, is this satirical pause? No, because I don't know, you know, I would have to get, I need a lot of examples to wrap my head around what a satirical pause is. And they would say, okay, is it an ironic pause? I said, definitely not, because I try to get irony and meta, but I don't, honestly, I'm not even trying to be funny, I don't. And they say, okay, so it's just a long pause. And I say, you're probably right, long, pointless pause. I'd say, wait, what are you some sort of fairy word mother? Oh, yes, I'm your fairy word mother. So you'll be with me from now on to feed me proper words. No, oh, which is, are you Derek? Is your name Derek? No, Scooter or Drew. Oh, no, I'm looking for a Derek. Okay, good, but well, wait, who sent you? Morally safer to Derek the podcast boy. Derek, but the strange podcast boy, Derek the strange podcast boy, love morally safer. Derek, please stop embarrassing us here. I've invested millions of dollars in this, to hire a fairy stepmother, word mother. Hey, but it's for Derek, I'm sorry. Well, no, the thing is that morally safer thinks I'm Derek, the podcast, but I'm really not, though. Well, I'm a word mother. I can't just go working for someone. That's not on my list. This is my name list. Names are words. But you could use some help. Well, how much do you charge? How much does a fairy word mother charge? Well, I could show you my price. Oh, holy, only morally safer could afford. I mean, holy, you need some 60 minutes money to pay that. Oh, fairy word mother's gone. She flew off in a... I don't know if it was a huff of sparkles. Can you fly off in a huff of sparkles? I could have used her to figure that out. So bring it back. I'm going to try to take your mind off whatever has got you up at night, tossing and turning. Whether you're thinking about stuff, concerned about stuff, whether you're going through some sort of emotional transition or your emotions are stirred up or whatever it is, or if your body's stirred up or flared up, as they say. You know, seasons are changing. I'm pretty sure there's planetary movements. I could have sworn I said, I was looking the other day and I saw something by the moon. And I said, I guarantee that's a planet. So there are planets moving and seasons changing, temperatures, humidity levels. Temperatures, humidity levels, all that's changing. So it can affect us, and that's fine. It's okay to be affected. And it's okay to be emotionally sort of, but so, you know, a lot of us overthink. And what I want to do is just be here, your boyfriend. And I'm going to chatter on with a bit of nonsense. It'll be good-spirited nonsense about fairy word mothers and whatever else I was talking about before that I forgot about. And I'll just try to keep you entertained with a little lighthearted. I think I meant lighthearted. It's too bad I lost that fairy word mother. I could have really used that. But that, you know, it probably would be a conflict of interest. And if she fell asleep, you know, when you look at fairy godmothers, odds are they're snorers, most of them. You can just tell, mostly those people with those pleasant looks on their face, it's because, you know, they snore. And because they sleep so deeply, that's why they're always in such a damn good mood. And then I live my life in service, some sort of mystical servitude. So, I mean, this woman did not. She seems like she was making a killing. And I don't know how much morally charged. Hopefully there's there's a Derek out there with a weird podcast. So, well, not really. That'd be really... Is it like when people say, what's the biggest disappointment you've had so far in podcasting? And believe it or not, no one's asked me that, so I'm going to answer it right now. It's that Morley Safer doesn't know my name. He knows me as, it's like, and for those of you that knew, I won't take very much time, but by the power of fiction, I met Morley Safer at a retirement village, and, you know, by the power of my goofing around, we became a team. I mean, I don't think even a fictional Morally Safer would define it as a team, but I do. We did become friends. I don't think he could argue that we weren't friendly. And we had some, investigative type situations. And we even saved the world once. I don't want to pat Morally Safer on the back, but we did under his leadership. And it was great, and it was like a childhood dream of mine, you know, no Morally Safer. To work side by side, to go on adventures where, you know, where the world's fate hangs in the balance. And another adventure we had is his brother's relationship hung in the balance. So, you know, real stakes. And a lot of people say, wow, you've lived an amazing life. And I say, yeah, but for some reason he's convinced my name's Derek. And someone might say, okay, wait a second, isn't it fictional? We can't choose. No, I don't have, he thinks my name's Derek. And he refuses. I keep telling him, it's Scooter, Morley. And he said, and then he sent this fairy word mother to me. So it's a big letdown. It doesn't get any bigger than that, you know. But I guess that's, you know, you got to take your knocks. I get to spend time with Morley Safer. And, you know, I tried to pitch him on a couple bit other business ideas of us, you know, Scooter and Safer. And he set Derek up on a blind date. But, you know, I said, well, okay, that's not a good idea. I want to remain on good terms with Morley. So anyway, back to the podcast, I guess. That's the podcast. I don't know if while you were listening to this, a few things could happen. You could have got extremely irritated. Well, you could have got extremely irritated on my behalf. You say, geez, Morley, can't you give Scooter the love he deserves? And he would say, you mean Derek? You might think, oh, this is ridiculous. I'd say, yeah, it is. Give it a couple shots. I don't want to waste your time, but I want to try to put you to sleep. So if it doesn't work for you, I'm sorry. But ideally, you didn't think about whatever was running through your head, whatever you've been feeling, whatever sensations are going on. My little meanders there took your mind off of stuff. So upcoming on tonight's episode, we're going to do our housekeeping. Then we'll cover what happened on last week's episode of Lady Witchbeard. And then we'll have a little episode of Lady Witchbeard. But I'm glad you're here. I just want to take your mind off of stuff, distract you. If you can't sleep, kind of entertain you, be there for you. But you want to fall asleep anytime during the podcast, just go right ahead. All right, I'm glad you're here. And I hope I help you fall asleep. Thanks for stopping by. All right, housekeeping. We're on the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can find older episodes there. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on iTunes or Overcast. It is a great option for people that are kind of having trouble with the current iTunes app. Just make sure you donate to Marco if you like the podcast on his Patreon. Another paid option, great option, is Pocket Cast. And I know a lot of people say good things about Podcast Addict and Stitcher. So there's lots of options. But the main thing is whatever you use, make sure you're subscribed. And then you don't even have to go looking around for the podcast. And I know, you know, I just changed phones and it can be a little frustrating. This is just a personal rant. That, you know, when you change things, you say, geez, where the hell is that podcast? That happens to me a lot when I leave my house. I say, I thought I should, and then I got to look, oh, it's not automatically downloaded or whatever. So it's just something that makes me nuts. But I bet you Marco figured that out. So I would, you know, check out Overcast. I have a huge respect for him, and I listen to his podcast, so... subscribe, iTunes. So iTunes only holds 300 episodes, and most podcatchers do. So the oldest stuff's still on our website. You can comment on our website. You can email me feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. Twitter's at Dearest Scooter. We're on Facebook. We also have a Facebook group, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. Laura, our main moderator there, wants everyone to know, check your other inbox folder in Facebook if you tried to join the group and you hadn't heard back. And I want to thank our other moderators over there, Lida, Rachel L. to the G, Julie C., and Jennifer B. And I'd like to welcome back one of our ONs, Alexandra, is apparently back to moderating. So those are all our wide variety of wonderful moderators. And I also want to say thank you to Chris Posty Posterson over at SoundsLikeAnEarful.com. He's got a podcast. I'm trying to get him to work on this podcast, so if you want to harass him on my behalf, do that. And then I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer, who handle our artwork, our lovely artwork. I want to thank people that are harassing Trader Joe's. Not harassing them, but say, hey, I realize you don't advertise, but you should you should advertise on podcasts, because nothing says Trader Joe's like about 80 different podcasts I can think of in 4 seconds that you know. And two, probably if you're going to advertise on podcasts, think about this one. And just let them know. I mean, they say, blah, 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 you know, whatever. But you know, just it'll be fun, you know. But you don't have to. But if you're at a Trader Joe's, tell the manager, you know, say, hey, this is a strange podcast guy. He wanted me to talk to you. And you say, hey, by the way, how the hell do you keep the floors here so clean with all these people in here? Great job. So instead of doing, like, do a smush, like, I'd be like, man, that is, do you shine that name tag? Because that is, Gary, is it, that is, no, it's, oh, Grant, sorry, my eyes, but, it's because your name tag's so shiny. You do wax that name tag? They say, I thought I'd never see, you know, someone wear a tropical shirt so well, but holy mackerel. By the way, you heard a podcast, right? And then tell the manager if he refuses, just say, hey, well, listen to the podcast. You know, you're doing such a damn good job at this store. Get some rest while you're at it. So that's that. What else? And I think that, oh, Sleep to Strange, check, you know, that's always there. sleepwithmepodcast.com/strange for iOS or Strange Android. And that's out on Mondays and Wednesdays. So if you need extra podcast material, that's older episodes with the, what do you call it, intro stripped out. And so they're out there in case you need backup material or you want to go down memory lane. And then let me know anything else. You know, we're trying these thank yous at the end. You know, stuff's you know, happening here. We're always trying new stuff. So let me know what you think, all right? And thanks for listening. All right, so we're back with another episode of Lady Witchbeard. Now, last week when we left off with Lady Witchbeard, what had happened was, let's see, what happened? I was trying to come up with a plan, and I was talking to my buddy Andre the Giant, I think is the technical name. And I was saying, okay, well, I think we can figure all this out. I came up with a plan. I guess technically it wasn't a plan. I came up with a solution to implement into a plan, which was to cover the whole pyramid in gold and bronze. And also then I said, well, geez, how are we going to get this gold and bronze on the pyramid? And I thought about that green goop. That was it. And then I said, well, geez, there might be some magic dust back at the cave. The gods shout the lightning bolt. So I said we could do green goop with magic dust and then on top, laid on top of it gold. And the whole idea was, I'm pretty sure it's a conductor. And I said electricity, I don't know. TV waves or over, you know, they say, oh, everyone says don't buy those with the gold. It's not worth it. But then I say, well, geez, if I buy them at the place I like to buy my cords, which is Monoprice, and that's not a sponsor, but just in case anybody doesn't know about Monoprice, and I don't even have an affiliate with them or anything, but it's a good place to buy cords. Or at least that's where I bought my cords most of the time. But you can get a good, I think even there, I'm like, well, it's gold, it's just a good deal. So I say it conducts something because I bought cords with gold connectors, or, you know, it could be a rube, which is also, maybe they should have rethought that part of it. But we did cover the pyramid with the assumption that it would channel the magic into the one stone that's improperly working, that gets really hot on its own, connected to magic. My theory being that by even putting more magic into the stone, maybe something would happen, or alternatively, something, I would think of something we could do with it. You know, it's like the power of action over inaction. In this case, and maybe it was just empowering me at the time. And then I went, and I said, well, even DeAndre was like, hey, maybe you should come up with a plan for this. So then I went spied on Cortez, and I discovered, of course, that Cortez, as a, you know, I don't want a blanket statement, conquistadors. But as he's the archetype from conquistadors for me, and, you know, for ignorant people, well, just for me, I can't speak for other ignorant people. You know, people insensitive to the wonders that conquistadors have brought to our world, like, you know, the plague and, you know, I guess, like, stealing stuff and, we owe our immune systems to the wonders of these conquistadors. Why can't you be more sensitive? And I would say, achoo, Gesundheit. Yeah, that's a joke, bad joke. So Cortez was going to double-cross Lady Witchbird and Marina. So I said, okay, now the fact that I don't have a definite plan, makes it more. But I said, well, I got this gold pyramid, and I know my people are working on it. You know, DeAndre and the people I supported, the indigenous people I tried to help at the beginning of the story that, you know, liked me for some strange reason. But then I found Lady Witchbeard was also hiding and spying on Cortez and Marina. And so she said, what are you doing? I have a plan. Which her plan was just to take out Cortez and the pyramid, like in some sort of, you know, explosion type thing. And maybe, but I said, well, she said, I can't do it now because I care about you too much, Germ. Oh, so Lady Witchbeard. So I said, well, okay, let's come up with a new plan, more or less. That's where we left off. Also, my skin had gotten dyed multicolors because I was hiding in the sand art. And, but I don't know if that's going to play a part in the story. Just, you know, if you need an extra, extra laugh, like picture a multi-striped, kind of like a rainbow zebra. That's what I looked like now. But with like a little coat on, you know, embarrassing indeed. I just need a ridiculous helmet or a hat, but I didn't have that. So that's basically where we left off on this. I have my butter filter. Okay, great. This is the Tales of Lady Witchbeard. We hear a hurry. And that's Antonio Banderas. Banderas. He brought his own Brita filter and cup, right? My friend is. So I'm going to get him some water. Great job. It's season. By the time the season's over, you'll have water. Okay, let's just get this. I don't want to see you forget. Okay. Tales of Lady Witchbeard. Tonight we open. Hey, it's me, Phagey, a.k.a. Germ here, and we're opening with the closing of a meeting where myself, DeAndre, Lady Witchbeard, it's a late evening, and the meeting ends with this, so that's the plan. That's what people are saying, so that's your plan, Germ. They say, okay, we got to do it because the sunrise is coming. Does everybody understand their roles? And everyone said, well, yeah. And there, a lot of people looked to Lady Witchbeard, and she said, I think this is a good plan, Germ. I think this may just work. And I said, well, Lady Witchbeard, thank you, Lady. Because when you're in charge, you can't, be like this, because, you know, now it's just us talking. So I can be a little more inept, but at the time. But anyway, so he said, okay, yeah, that's the plan. Let's do this. And again, I'd slowly learn, you know, any cultural stuff, like, let's put all our hands in. They, you know, obviously, clearly, everyone's not going to get that. And it's kind of exclusionary, you know. You say, geez, I don't want to, like, back, like, say, geez, we don't play team sports, you know, you get Bach was there, he's some sort of demigod god. But I don't know if gods would have sports, because they have specialties, you know, you got, like, the guy that rides the chariot. So, clearly that god, who was that, Athena? She was good at it. She'd be good at the javelin, I think. Or was that Athena? So, I mean, isn't that the Olympia? But anyway, that's a totally... Come on, can you keep your European sensibilities out of this? Holy mackerel. First, last week, you insult the entire conquistador. Sorry, I apologize. I take full responsibility. It was the school systems, you know... I take full responsibility. So we had our plan, and the reason we're cutting from the plan is, you know, one, time constraints. And you say, hold on, wait a second, you're concerned about time constraints. No, artificial. It's an artificial time constraint to move the story. You know, like, this is like cinematic. It's cinematic. And they say, okay, you in the back, you got your hand. How is it cinematic? Because we cut it. Right. Okay, I'm rephrasing the person in the back's. How is cutting at the end of a plan cinematic? Cinematography, right? Okay, moving on. So the plan was in motion. Lady Witchbeard headed off, and everyone headed off in separate directions, as when a plan, a mysterious but unrevealed plan, by the way, to say, you know, what could the plan be? This cinematographic tension would be revealed. So we broke anyway. Everybody separated. I think I've said that about 7 times. And we waited for dawn to break, and it was breaking soon. And so, as you know, or may not know, last episode we covered the entire pyramid. This pyramid constructed of magic stones. We covered it in goop. The green goop, which you can't see. Well, you can kind of see it a little bit. It's leaking through some of the cracks. But, you know, in green goop, with sprinkled and mixed with magic rock dust. Supposedly magic rock dust. Because they said it. There was one time my dad gave me a piece of the Berlin Wall. And he said, this is a legit piece of the Berlin Wall, not one of these ones you buy at freaking the airport store or from Sky Mall. This is a legit piece of the Berlin Wall. And we put it in a mayonnaise jar. I'll never forget it. Well, I guess I did forget it, which mayonnaise it was. And it was a weird size. It was one of those, like, the smallest size mayonnaise. I said, geez, I don't remember us having a portable mayonnaise jar, but it was the kind that would fit in your hand. They definitely don't make mayonnaise jars like this anymore. Tin top. Now most mayonnaise comes with a plastic top, but it was a smaller. I think it was Hellman's. I'll be honest. Don't sue me. This is just mentioning a product in a neutral way. But I took that stone, I put it in this mayonnaise jar. Maybe it didn't come. I think it just came wrapped up in a piece of wrapping paper. And then I put it in the mayonnaise jar, and then I put a label on there, piece of the Berlin Wall. And I said, geez, now I finally have a piece of history in my life to carry with me. And I was probably a young man, but, you know, I don't know how old I was. I think I was an adult, 18, 20, I don't know. Probably not, probably younger, maybe, I don't know. And I went through life with that jar. You know, my dorm room, I had that jar. And, you know, it was a piece of pride. It was a source of pride. And then one day my father said, oh, no, that was just a rock I picked up. I think he told me that. And luckily, I don't even know. I probably do have it, probably still in a box somewhere. It was my, did I have a point? Oh, okay, so much like, I guess that's like my suspicious side is saying, well, I don't know if that was actual magic dust we sprinkled on the pyramid or not. And I say, oh boy, that was a long aside for that. But I can tell you that the green goop was real. It was green. It had lost some of its glow. No, I guess in the night it actually helped, and people were writing different symbols in their names, so they had some fun. But we covered the pyramid in different panels of flattened gold and bronze, which Bach was in charge of that, and Bach kind of fell out of the story a bit because he, you know, once you get a D'Andre the Giant in, it's like kind of like your character kind of loses focus. So the spotlight went from Bach, the demigod or god, the Bacchanalian type of god, who now is just hanging around with us. He's, you know, kind of like, but anyway, he and some of the people that have called themselves my people, the Germs peeps, you know, they don't call them that. I would, if it was modern day, they were my peeps, I would call my peeps. But we, he had, back in my, and some of my friends, let's say, had acquired all this bronze and gold flattened, and I don't know the first thing about gold or bronze, but we had covered the entire pyramid in flat panels of this stuff. And by the light of the moon, I think the moon was in one of those gibbous phases. I don't know which one. And I only say that because I just learned that word as a fully grown adult, gibbous. And I guarantee I must have thought it might, but I don't know if it was waxing or waning. That's beyond me. It'll be beyond me. And more practice, and I might know someday. And then I'll sneak it into another episode. But it was something about it at the night, but it looked good, and we covered the whole pyramid, but with the idea that this would conduct some sort of magical electricity into the main busted stone, the refurbished stone at the top of the pyramid, which was already getting hot because it was a bit refurbished stone, or a rejected stone, I think in their parlance. At the old magical story, this is magical stone quarry. Part of the story, this stone had not qualified to be in the pyramid, but I did a switcheroo. You know, it was in an episode. You're gonna have to trust me on this. And its flaw apparently was that just got hot when it was, you know, when magic was running into it, it would get warm, but not hot. Warm or very warm, but not burning hot, or hot, but not super hot. And I figured that's a sign if you overload it. Okay, not important. It was part of my plan that became the current plan. So we have a pyramid covered in bronze and gold. And what I was just doing there was using the time till the dawn broke across the horizon. Across the horizon above the trees, the sun started to rise, and as soon as he cleared the trees, you know, rising above the trees was the pyramid, and the sun's dawn rays struck the pyramid, and immediately we knew, and by we, I mean not by me, because I was there by myself hiding, kind of, waiting to be my, I don't think any person on the, that had seen anything would be prepared for this. And in San Francisco, we do have a copper-clad museum, which is very nice. And I don't know the elemental differences between copper and bronze, other than that bronze tends to be a little bit shinier, and copper, at least this museum, the De Young Museum, it tends to be more, it's a very matte building, but it's very, very interesting to look at, and I think controversial in some aspects, but I prefer bold buildings like that. They say, geez, whoever designed that took a hell of a risk, and I like that. So I'm not a building critic. I'm a building enthusiast. So the dawn's rays hit it in unintentionally. I guess me and my team of helpers had created something unbelievably breathtaking. Because the interspersed panels of gold and bronze, you know, imperfectly placed at my direction, you know, started to scatter the dawn's rays in hues of gold. Oh, it was, for each minute the sun rose, it became more spectacular. And just depending on where you were standing, a little bit painful, you know, if you caught one of the gold. Because he was shooting off in billions of different directions, it seemed like. And a lot of these panels, you know, we were working on the fly, so some of these were, you know, had divots and things. But soon I knew that the camp had also caught sight of this thing. And now as the sun, so, you know, sun was starting to hit two sides of the pyramid as time slowly passed. And the dullness became more and more powerful. And I looked down at the village and I watched as the people stood in awe. And I got closer because I wanted to see, because then I saw Marina standing bathed in a bronze, you know, It wasn't a direct reflection because they were far enough away, but it said, geez, man, bronze is a nice color on her. Well, any color, you know. And she ran off as soon as she saw it, and she woke Hernan Cortez. And he looked upon it, and you could see people were just, you know, no one saw this coming. And again, every moment the sun got a little higher and a little bit fuller and more powerful. And then a drum beat started. And it was a drum beat to gather attention, a unified beating of drums and marching of feet into the village from outside the village. And then people's attention was torn between the incoming marching and drum beats and the pyramid, which you really couldn't take your eyes off of. But then you couldn't keep your eyes on it exactly, because you say, when she said, rather have it. And I gotta tell you, another aside here is that if you want to talk about underrated, the gold was spectacular, but the bronze was, it's like, geez, what an underappreciated, or maybe not, maybe just by me, I don't know what you call it, metallic highlighting. You know, if you're rich and you're going to, you know, do some cladding, you know, think about some bronze. Because I could tell you, if it was just gold, it would be like, wow, it's pretty cool. And if it was just bronze, it'd be like, that's badass. But the combination of the gold and bronze was just, whew. So I could tell you, you know, you want to send me back to an age, you send me to the Bronze Age, I think I could go for it. I think I would fit in there, a Bronze Age person. And someone might say, well, okay, well, what bronze-related skills do you have to be in the Bronze Age? I see. Skills, huh? I could be a Bronze Age poet. Oh, bronze. Bronze is so nice to say, bronze. Bronze, bronze, bronze. One of my favorite characters' name is Bron. So if you had two, you'd have a pair of bronzons. Okay, maybe not. Maybe I stick with this age. But the drumbeat came and sneaking into the village with who but Bach at the head. Was a line of people clad in colors of gold and bronze, like mostly feathers and flowers. And the people that followed me were a mix of mostly indigenous people, but a few conquistadors or Spanish troops. I think I de-conquistadored them because they had said, well, we kind of like this buffoon, what do they say, thief and fool, whatever they called me back then. And they streamed into the village, and the people parted ways, and everyone smiles. It was drums that said, hey, we're here for some business. You know, give us your attention, but don't worry, you know, don't worry. And Cortez awaited, and Bach bowed to Cortez, then all the people bowed. And then Bach said to Cortez, I'm honored to present to you your wedding gift, our gift to honor you. And he made a wonderful speech. I mean, he's a demigod. And he even had some gold nectar, he said, for him and Cortez. And he said, this is a gift. I think it was a wedding gift. I don't know. I couldn't hear because this, I mean, you want to talk about irony. It was some sort of a squawking bird kept squawking, saying, hey, I heard you don't like birds that cluck or squawk. So I couldn't hear the speech. I missed it, I'll be honest. So I can't relay it to you. But Marina seemed touched, and Cortez seemed still kind of in this golden bronze days. And then something broke. Maybe the squawking of the bird, maybe the sip of the golden nectar broke. And Cortez said, where's Lady Witchbeard? And then someone said, he's still in her tent, my lord, or something. I don't know if they call him my lord, but that was at the tip of my tongue. And he said, wake Lady Witchbeard and bring her here. And then they woke Lady Witchbeard, and you heard her come out of her tent and gasp. And Lady Witchbeard said, what is this? And she made her way to Cortez, Lady Witchbeard, and Bach and them were bowed. And Cortez said it's a gift. And then Marina kind of explained again, a squawking bird. I think she was explaining the tradition. I don't know. But Cortez, like, started to walk a little bit closer because just as the sun got more powerful, it started to shoot off now full golden and bronze sunbeams. So if you suck your arm in there, if you got close enough to the pyramid, which is a giant pyramid, so you don't have to get that close, your skin would turn gold or bronze. And there just happened to be a couple, you know, and it's hitting three sides of the pyramid now, maybe even four. Or wait, pyramids, I don't know, how many sides does a pyramid have? One, two, three. So probably three sides it was hitting. It couldn't have hit a fourth, you know, unless it was, it couldn't, I guess. I guess the top of the pyramid was a little flat, so that could count as a fourth side. I guess which would make it not a pyramid. It would be, you know, some sort of triangular tetrahedron or something. But anyway, not, you know. So Cortez was, like, playing with the light and getting closer. And Lady Witchbeard said, don't take another step. And he said, and she said, I sense something's amiss. And Cortez said, do you sense the power? He kind of said this low to her. And luckily the bird had stopped squawking. And this was part of the plan, so I think I knew. So, you know, he said the power coming off. And she said it could be heat, you know, it could be. And he said, no. He said, some sort of magic is at work here. He goes, and Lady Witchbeard, she got goosebumps. And I could see, I could see it from there. I could. You could say in this situation she had the golden goosebumps, maybe. But Cortez, he said, I need, he goes, he said, Marina, it's time. Cortez looked back at Marina, he said, Marina, it's time. And Lady Witchbeard said, for what? And Cortez kind of just walked towards the pyramid and kind of waved her off. But we knew what he meant. And Lady Witchbeard said, oh, non, stop. And he said, stop what? And she said, don't go any closer. There's something amiss here. And he said, Lady Witchbeard, there's nothing for you to fear. You could stay here. You could stay here and wait for me. And Lady Witchbeard, she fought off every huff. I could tell she wanted to huff at that comment. But she said, Hernan, I've seen this in the hall that holds the secrets of the world in Montezuma's palace. And Cortez kind of stopped, and he said, but he was, he was dazed. And the sun was getting higher and more powerful. And at this point, I mean, there was like beams shooting it. I said, man, I said, this could be a telecommunications device almost. I mean, he was shooting, like, it was sparkling. I said, man, I wish I had some kind of talent, because it was, oh, it was, it wasn't like a disco ball, but it had that effect of shooting a little beams of light, and it was sparkling like the sea. But, and I guess you can't say better, but could you imagine swimming in a bronze sea, one, with a little gold? That'd be sweet. So it's shooting all these beams off in the sky and at the people, almost like a laser light show during the day. But, you know, I don't know. I could go on, and I'm not patting. This is not a humble brag or anything. It just, because it was an accident. But Lady Witchbeard said, Hernan, that's the lure, the shiny lure from the darkness. The light came from the darkness this morning. And she said, look at the people. They're confused and afraid of the gold and that other color light. I said, it's bronze. It's not a other color. It's bronze. But Cortez just kept walking further. He said, stay back. And then even Marina, she said, Hernan, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to bathe in the pot. You know, he almost seemed mad with, like, I don't even know, and I can't blame him, because as I watched him get closer and closer, he said, man, that guy, And then he got closer and closer. And then suddenly, the ground started to rumble. And if you were watching very carefully, you would have seen Lady Witchbeard kind of sneak off. And you'd notice that, you know, in the cinematographic stuff, but it's not that important. But the ground started to rumble and shake right as Cortez got to the top. And Rena said, what are you going to do? And he said, it's the power. And he was talking about how the pyramid sensed him and he was going to climb to the top and he was close and it was it really felt like almost like it was like laser lights were scanning him at this point. And he had his arms out like he was taking a bath in bronze and gold rays. But then the pyramid shook some more. And then suddenly the pyramid started to unfold in some strange, beyond understanding way. The pyramid started to unfold with the gold being acting as like a skin. It was unfolding and reshaping itself from a pyramid into something else. And you could see the light traveling through it. The magical energy that, you know, some would have doubted could be there. And even someone that may have doubted that there was real magical stone would be, you say, oh, I guess it is magic stone. Dust mixed in with green goop and then conductor. But anyway, not important. You know, let's not play the credit game here. But and then suddenly the pyramid started to take shape into something. What was it? What was it? People began to ask themselves. Marina was stunned. She wanted to reach out to run to Cortez, but Bayek held her back. And then DeAndre the Giant tried to go closer, and then he had sensitive eyes, or he was pretending. And he said, and then the pyramid, it seemed to grow ahead. And then a body, and then four legs, and then it became more clear what it was. It was a four-legged creature. Its head took on a shape with what seemed to be a little beard, and little horns, and a little cute little, it was a golden goat. And the pyramid turned, and they stood up on 2 feet, giant as a pyramid could be. Gold as a golden pyramid could be. And then Bayek fell to his knees and he said, no, it could not be. I thought you were banished from the world that we be, you know, all the worlds. And then Bayek went into this speech, and I'll just give you the TLDR version, which was he kind of re-described that the golden goat god, who it'll turn out to be, was, we just used a Superman, I think it was Superman 2, or a typical plot where you put someone in a outer space prison, you know, something that's just going to be drifting in space. You say, oh, space is huge, you'll never get cut. Now, this was an ocean-based prison because they thought the oceans were so huge. And then, but it ended up the Atlanteans set him free. That's what maybe I'm spoiling it. I guess I am. But that's okay. It was either that Bayek said that maybe the Atlanteans set him free. I don't know. Maybe Bayek just filled in on the prison. I can't remember. The bird was squawking again, but I had bigger things going on. Because then the goat god stood up, and then Cortez said, what are you talking about? What is this creature? And he said it was the trickster god that thought it could become the god of gods and tried to trick us all into electing it the top god. But then, Bayek went through his, you know, belief system he's a part of and how they changed the trickster god into a goat, you know, to reduce his power. And then they tricked him into going to space. I think then he was in space or whatever, but that he was a goat forever, no matter what. And even though he escaped his prison, but then Bach was like, he's a giant golden goat. And something about this has brought, and then he said, oh, golden goat god, what do you want from us? And even as the goat god started to rise above Cortez, the light still shimmered and shaked on the skin of Cortez and all the people. And everywhere, I mean, it was sparkling everywhere in the eyes of everything. And then the goat god spoke. Now, strangely, the goat god's voice was somewhat familiar. The goat god said, are you the one called Hamnon Hamnon Cuckoo? And there was no, you know, and Cortez said, I am Hernan Cortez, who are you? And the go-cat was, the go-cat didn't do that, but the person, you know, the go-cat, I will not be answering any questions, for all my questions are questions and tricks within questions. Anon, I'm here to offer you one chance to leave this land forever. And Cortez, of course, he said, "What exactly do you want, goat god? Do you have a name?" And then the goat god shook his goat-like, pyramid-like head. "I'm not here to play games or niceties with you, Anon. I'm here to defend these people from your invasion." And then Cortez, "Well, I'm not really here to invade. I'm here to protect these people. Actually, we share a common goal, goat god, and I think we could work to." And at one point he smiled while he was saying this, and there was like a bronzy gold shimmer to his smile, which was nearly hypnotic for the poor goat god, or the man controlling the goat god, or possibly. But he said, what do you mean defend the people? Tell me more, goat god. And then they go, I'm here to defend these people from you, for you bring your diseases here. This is a place without war or greed and gold fever like in your eyes. I see you want to possess my gold and so many more. And Cortez said, I don't plan on bringing any of those things. I don't intend to. I just bring a god, not anything like you. And then Cortez turned to the people, and he made some sort of, he said, I can offer you something. And then the goat god stomped and stomped and stomped in anger, but he shook. And then finally the goat god remembered when the goat god was just a boy and would wear a watch in school, and the sun would come through the school window, and he could use the reflection of the sun to blind the teacher temporarily until she would give the goat god, you know, a time out. So the goat god started using wrist rays, and so Cortez got his, the goat god said, I'm not here to trifle. You leave. And then Cortez said, well, I don't get it. Now, there's a ship in the bay, and I'm not joking with you. You'll leave now. And I'm going to count. And then Cortez said, what if you don't leave? Or Cortez said, well, what if I don't leave? And the goat guy said, well, I'll be forced to do away with you, Anon. For I will be here to protect the people from this day forward. From all your ships, I will sink your ships. I will, you know, those of you. And then it's like, oh boy, is it the goat guys? You need to leave now, Anon. And then said, and of course, I said, well, could you do me a demonstration of your power? Because you sound a bit like another goat that I know. And I said, how the hell? Because really, you know, spoiler, I was the goat. I was using Lady Witchbeard's magic, because we had fully gathered the magic in the pyramid, which now was a problem because we were going to... We had a plan, but the plan was to chase Cortez out of town. And now he didn't seem so... I was like, man, I gotta up my game. But I was using the coat of many colors to pretend I was the goat guide, kind of like one of those suits with all the golf balls on it and motion capture. And Lady Witchbeard was casting spells while, you know, it was a whole production. So then I said, whoa, and I should go smash the ground. And then I smashed it, and then I grabbed some cannons, and I chucked those into the water, which was like 30, 40, 50 miles. And I said, oh, that hurt, actually, because every time I throw it, it was too hard. I injure myself where I throw something inefficiently, but this time it was efficient. And then I noticed that Bach was getting agitated with me and Cortez. And then I noticed Bach was like, Bach raised his hands. He said, stop, stop, stop this argument. Stop, goat guy. Stop, Cortez. And Bach said, you mean to tell me you're not going to leave because of this goat god? And Cortez said, well, I think we could work this out. I think we could come to some kind of consensus here. I am not here to spread any diseases or, you know, obviously the queen needs her due, but I will, we will, you know, you people are going to be so much happier when you learn of all the benefits of being a colony of Spain. It's going to be wonderful. And he said, we got this wonderful police system going. It was in the Bach said, what is it? And then I noticed Bach, I don't know if he had god magic or also pyramid magic, because now it was kind of like a free-for-all. And he did some wiggly-woo, and the next thing I knew, I wasn't controlling the goat god anymore. And then all of a sudden, Bach was, and he's like starting to smash around Cortez. And luckily, I had DeAndre in the back just in case. I said, DeAndre, he's somehow jammed my, you know, because I was like, this whole thing was based on the remote controls from Radio Shack idea. I said, oh, we could make a remote control pyramid. No, thank you, Radio Shack. I would have let you sponsor the show if it was 1980. And maybe even the 90s if I wanted a remote control car or early aughts. But not, I mean, no offense, not anymore. Radio Shack, not a sponsor. Anyway, so then Bach was controlling, then I was trying to wrest control back. Lady Witchbeard was trying to, and Cortez is trying to, and then Cortez kind of sees me doing stuff. So then he runs over. So then Bach, like, I see him shoot, he turned DeAndre into a pile of sand, which, you know, was a stone giant, so that wasn't any good. And I said, no, DeAndre. And then Cortez comes running up to me. He says, Germ, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, we got to get you out of here before you ruin Central South Mexico, Central South America for everybody. And I said, you know, it was a little bit boring. I said, you don't belong here, man. Haven't you got that? And we don't want you mixing with magic. And then I noticed, I said, that the goat god was coming after all of us. And he started chasing us, and we were running around. And Bach was still getting down the method. And then Lady Witchbeard, she said, Germ. And I said, Bach, what are you doing, man? Because he had us cornered, to be honest with you. He had us cornered with the giant goat god. I mean, there was an action sequence in there, but, you know, you're not here for action sequence. And it was, like, mostly just us running from a giant goat god. But it was sweet goat god, you know, gold, bronze, sparkles, like that. And at that point, it had us kind of cornered, and then Bach was there. And I said, Bach, what are you doing, man? And he said, Germ, you've given me the tool. He said, you're right. He said, Germ, I'm going to give you and Lady Witchbeard a chance to leave. And I'm going to keep this power, this magic, oh God. I'm going to become the defender of this land. And this man won't leave. And so he said, I'm going to, you know, to take Cortez out. And he goes, I thought that's what you came here to do, Germ. And then Cortez said, what? And I said, come on, Hernan, you know we're here to take you out. Give us a break. You were going to take Lady Witchbeard out. And as a matter of fact, you were going to take Marina out. And then Marina, she was, of course, nearby. And then Bach was like, Marina, I got to take you out. And Bach said, I've got the golden goat god. And they said, well, why? He said, well, we're not going to be, these are my people, Germ. You're just a tourist here on a little adventure chasing around your little green woman. And there was that much, everyone was like, I'm sorry, did you just say what? And Lady Witchbeard, I don't even know, I didn't even realize she had a cauldron. She picks a cauldron up. I said, where's that? And boom, she throws it. Boom, hits Bach and knocks him, not totally senseless because he's some sort of god, you know, and now he's got some pyramid-related magic power, but enough that he stumbled backwards, and the pyramid goat guy stumbled to one knee, and then Cortez and Lady Witchbeard and Marina, they said, Germ, what do we use? They said, Germ. And then Cortez said, Germ, you need my help to stop this god. And at first I wanted to reject it. I said, no, 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 no. And then Lady Witchbeard said, Germ, if Bach wins, he'll have, it's too risky. We can't let this unknown. She said, I didn't expect this to happen. I said, yeah, neither did I. And I said, this is probably not as bad as if Cortez had taken over control. And then I said, wait a second. I said, Hernan, I said, are you serious that you're only going to unintentionally destroy all of Central South? You know, you're only going to unintentionally ruin the lives of all these people for you know, history may or not fix itself. But, and he said, you know, conquistador's honor. And he said, well, I still don't trust you, but I may need you. And I said, I gave Lady Witchbeard a wink, which I said, I didn't even know what it meant, just like a wink. And I said, Cortez, I want you to take this goat of many colors. I've got another plan, which is another plan. I mean, this last couple plans haven't worked out, so how about this one? It just might. But it probably wait till next week for it to work out. On another episode of Tales of Lady Witchbeard, all right? So get a good night's sleep, and I'll talk to you very, very soon, all right? Good night. All right, everybody, so, you know, as you snuggle in deeper, I want to say thank you and good night to all of you. I want to say good night to Ben, and good night to Summer, good night to Dawn, good night, Jason, sleep well. Hey, Joan, sleep great. Maybe I should say, hey, Joan, keep sleeping. My buddy Fern sent me a postcard. Thanks, Fern. Good night. Silvertone, I hope you're so tired from Zumba that you're resting so well. I want to say good night to Cat, the human cat. I don't know if Cat has any cats, but, you know, those cats are probably, you know, I don't know if our cat's nocturnal. Hey, cats, don't bother, cat, okay? Mary, good night. I want to say good night to Bo, a.k.a. Lee Box. Anyways, listen, check out splitshort.com. Check out Lee Box's movie, please. And tweet about it, spread the word, and let me know, you know, what I think. If you're a hardcore listener of Spycast, you'll figure out. You say, well, I know what's, you know, those of you that have been listening, especially a Game of Drones, hint. Just a little hint. Kerplunk, I want to say good night to you. Good night, Kerplunk. Piss Goblin, good night. Long time listener. Kim L. Carla, good night. December, good night. We got a cast of podcast listening legends here. And then we get some wonderful new listeners on Facebook. Trisha, Janet, Elizabeth, Melissa, thank you. Good night. And I want to thank some iTunes reviews. If you want to review the podcast, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/iTunes. I want to thank AKD, who says that puts them like to sleep like a sweet little baby. Sweet magic. Thank you, AKD. I want to thank Mover Ma from Down Under, from Australia. Early onset tinnitus, oh boy. And this is a podcast that's helping them get some sleep. You deserve it. I'm sorry. I want to thank you. I got a new method to check our international reviews. Hopefully it keeps working. I want to say goodnight to Hawk Flight from Canada. Thank you for your review. Great boyfriend. You are a great boyfriend. I want to say goodnight to Harley, Brainbot from Harley. Brainbot number 798. Works for them. And they have a lot of stressors, and then they're, you know, as soon as it's just like everybody, well, no, just like a lot of people, they lie down and the brain starts to race. So thank you, thank you. And then Kiwi Holden from Australia, who does not like the podcast, and they accuse us of cheating, which I guess they said we must have paid people to download the podcast. Oh boy, I don't know. That's not actually, unfortunately, that's not how iTunes works. But because I don't have the same download numbers, Kiwi Holden. Sorry, Hawkfly. I didn't mean to associate you. So that's not how you get ranked in iTunes anyway, by bulk numbers. And if I did have some kind of huge numbers like that, I'd probably be on vacation somewhere. So. But, you know, thanks for taking the time to accuse me of cheating, Kiwi Holden. Good night. Oh, sleep so tight. I hope you do so good. But another Australian, you know, sets it right back. And that's a brain bot belonging to Annabelle. Brain bot 11811. You know, that's one of the more advanced brain bot models, the 11811 model. And Annabelle's been listening to the podcast for a while. And she looks forward, you know, her and her human to listen to the podcast. So thank you, Annabelle. Thank you, BrainBot 11811. I think maybe something in Star Wars is based on that new 11811 model. Another Australian, you know, rebalancing the love. Random Akembis. And they fall asleep during the housekeeping. Thank you, Random. Works too well. And then we got Ethan up there in Canada. Pretty awesome, eh? Thanks. Mumbles a lot. But that soothes Ethan. Thank you, Ethan. Your review soothes me from that. I mean, that was Kiwi Shavers, you know, doing an undercover review to test me. Emily Sophie from Canada says, it's okay. The podcast is just okay. It's the first, actually... a two-star written review I think we've gotten. So thanks, Emily. I'm not kidding. I say, you know, it takes someone to do two stars I like better than one. And maybe I like it better than three because it says, well, you got work, you know, needs improvement. So thank you. Oh, we got a Swedish brain bot, Bray, B-R-E, Breya, 864, brain bot 864 belonging to Breya. I wrote in that it works. Thank you, Brea, and your brain bot. They're asleep in 10 minutes. Tanya AVR from Canada is trying and says it reminds her of the double rainbow guy. A little bit. Oh, double rainbow. Good night to you, too. And then Mega Sleepless in Canada helping the unquiet mind get some sleep. Thank you. And then we have Padre Quintos. This sounds like that'd be a cool character in a Padre Quintos. Sounds like, you know, be a good character to have in your party if you were playing D&D or a video game. And that's the only reason Padre Quintos can fall asleep. So thank you for your review, Padre. Thomas O, also in Sweden, thinks the podcast is fantastic. Thank you, Thomas O. And then Brian from Windsor. I think I might have thanked Brian, but maybe I didn't. I said, but Brian from Windsor appreciates the podcast in Canada. And I appreciate Brian from Windsor and all our new listeners from Windsor, probably related to Brian. And, you know, I hope I've, you know, fixed U.S.-Canadian relations in the Windsor area. So thank you, everybody, and get a good night's sleep.